You're listening to episode 191 of Women Worldwide. When you're in business, whether it's your own business or you're working for someone else, the words hectic and schedule go together, and some important responsibilities end up taking a back seat. But it doesn't have to be this way. Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks so much for tuning in and for helping to amplify the stories of women who come on the show and share their career journeys and give you a glimpse into their world, all to educate, empower, and inspire you. All right, let's get to today's topic and guest. The topic is the entrepreneur, the hectic schedule, and responsibilities that shouldn't be neglected. I'm in business, and like you, it gets really hectic, and there are just certain things that take a back seat that shouldn't, like family dinners. Every day, I'm up early. I will admit that I do cram as much as I can into 15 and 30 minute increments in my schedule. And then suddenly I blink and yep, it's dinner time. So I ask you, is meal planning a priority or is it an afterthought? This is the perfect segue to my special guest today. Joining me on the show is Allison Schaff, an entrepreneur and business owner who knows what it's like to run and grow her startup, which is PrepDish. And PrepDish is a subscription-based meal planning service that saves you time and helps you make your dinners more appealing. Now, Allison is a personal chef. She's the crafter of gluten-free meal plans, and her goals are simple. Save you time, decrease stress, ensure healthy meals, bring back family dinners, and create happier, healthy people. These are good goals. So Allison is here to share her journey with you. It's great to have you on my show, Allison. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
Well, me too. And, you know, I think we should start off kind of digging into you, the entrepreneur. So did you always want to be an entrepreneur? And maybe what made you decide to actually launch PrepDish?
So for the first question, yes. Not did I always want to be, but I just always was. I was one of those kids that, you know, was always trying to figure out ways to have a business, whether it was selling friendship bracelets, or at one point I advanced into having a catering company. I use that term pretty loosely, but I sold cookies for my dad to take into his board meetings. Of course, I sold them to him and used, you know, all the overhead was paid by him. So I think I got the better end of that deal.
So you skipped the lemonade stand and went to the cookie.
Yeah. So, you know, it was always something that was just kind of a part of me. I've always enjoyed, you know, having a business or been intrigued by that. And when I went to school, I went to school for nutrition. I went to culinary school and then became a dietitian. So I did this culinary school and nutrition school. But in the back of my mind, I knew I didn't want to be in a hospital working as a dietitian, or I knew I didn't want to be in a kitchen working as a chef. And I didn't know exactly what it would be, but I just kind of knew that I was going to start my own business. So in the beginning, the first business I started was a personal chef company where I would go into people's homes and cook for them.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was partly inspired because in high school, I did that in the summers and really enjoyed it. That's what inspired me to go to culinary school. So it's kind of going back to what I already knew. And I enjoyed that. But then in terms of looking, you know, at my life as a whole, I'm like, gosh, I don't know if I really see myself doing this, you know, for the rest of my life, especially where, you know, it's a very physical job and, you know, I want a family someday. And so I just couldn't imagine going in and cooking for other families, you know, for the next 50 years or whatever. So, and as I was doing that personal chef work, it's actually a lot of what you said in the introduction. I was making everyone else's meals a priority, and then my meals were becoming that afterthought that you were talking about. So
oh, no.
I would get home and not want to cook a meal from scratch because I'd just been cooking for clients all day. So the last thing I wanted to do was cook more. But what I did start doing was the system that I was doing for my clients, which was prepping once a week. And then throughout the week, I would have meals all ready to go. And that's the same thing I was doing. So for clients, I would visit one person, you know, I'd visit them once a week, kind of do all the chopping and mixing of the marinades, and then they would be set for the week. So I didn't have to go in every day and cook meals from scratch. It was just once a week. And that's what I started doing for myself. And that's when it kind of hit me is like, gosh, if you want to take a business online, why don't you take this system that you've created? Because I became really efficient at it. I became good at meal prep, efficient with grocery lists and all of that. So I sat down and created a little PDF and took it to a designer, and she turned it into a meal plan, and Prep Dish was born.
That's amazing. I just wonder when I, you know, because you have such an art and skill with cooking and meal planning, was there anybody else in your family? Like, did you get the cooking gene? or are you just the first one who said, I want to go to culinary school and I want to cook? Like, where does this come from?
Yeah, so I love my mom, but it definitely skipped a generation. Both of my grandmothers, one in particular, really liked to cook and entertain. And I think part of that is, you know, food just really brings people together. And I think I saw that from an early age, because there was one Thanksgiving where I really went in and made all these creative dishes. And I think it's more than just the food. It's the community aspect and that like regular rhythm of sitting down to you know, my mom wasn't much of a cook, but we did sit down every night and have a family meal. And the connection that happens there is so important. So I think that was part of it. And then just being involved in sports, I saw that food was really fuel. And that's where I got the interest in nutrition as well. It's like, hey, if I'm going to be spending all this time in the kitchen, I should be creating something that's actually healthy for me.
Yeah, I mean, very well-rounded approach. Now, you mentioned you created a system. Is that what makes Prep Dish different?
Yeah, so it's the system, and it's really the meal prep piece. So through the meal plans, I'm teaching people not only to think ahead, because that's, you know, the first step is think ahead and just know each night, you know, what you're going to have and buy the groceries for those meals. But I take it a step further, and there's a specific, you know, okay, if you want to spend 2 hours on Sunday afternoon or Monday evening, do these things and the rest of the week will be so easy because all of the chopping's done, all of your marinades will be mixed and everything will be ready to go. So that's really the key piece is that meal prep piece.
That's cool. And what, you know, running a business, so you have your passion and I believe that your passion becomes your business, but it's not always easy to run a business. So what do you absolutely love about the operations, and maybe what are some of the things that you would just like to give to somebody else, delegate to the team?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what I love, I mean, number one is just helping the customers. Like, it's amazing when you read a testimonial about how you're saving someone's, oh gosh, last week someone emailed and told me I was saving her marriage because they used to fight about meals all the time. And she's like, now we don't fight about meals. So, you know,
that's some testimonial.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, it's working.
Those are really nice. And that's something we have a team call once a week. And one thing we always do is we read a happy customer share is what we call it. And it just, everyone on the team is very motivated to hear like, oh yes, we are, you know, at the end of the day, we're helping people and we're giving them back some time and, you know, giving them a way to spend time with their family. And so that piece of it is really a big driver. And then an unexpected piece. So the part I didn't mention when I was transitioning from the personal chef company to online is one of my thought processes was, well, if I want to grow the personal chef business, I just have to hire more people and I don't want to manage a bunch of people. So I'll go online. The thing I didn't realize was if you want to grow a business, period, it involves a team and hiring people. So,
it does.
You know, that's exactly what I ended up doing with Prep Dishes. You know, I now have a whole team behind me that helps out. And that's become really, it was something I was afraid of, but it's become a real joy to be able to, you know, have people that also get to do something that they're passionate about and that they can, you know, have a job that they feel good about and they can provide for their family. And so, you know, the team piece is something that I didn't realize I would enjoy as much as I do.
I love that. Something that started out that you weren't sure about and a little bit reticent, and it turns out to be one of the best parts. Let's talk about teams. Mm-hmm. What makes a winning team? And is that because you have a certain culture that's developed?
Yeah. So a lot of my hires have been for my audience, which is really cool. For one thing, so I don't have kids yet, but our audience is primarily moms. So especially for customer service, it's really cool when we can hire someone that is already a, you know, Prep Dish fan, and they can really speak to it firsthand and in a way that I can't do. So that's really been a cool thing, is to hire some people from within our own community. And then just in general, though, figuring out, I think a winning team is figuring out kind of your culture and what you want to create, what you're looking for, and really taking time when going through the hiring process to make sure it's a right fit. And, you know, I've definitely improved that over the years and gotten better at it, because it is so important.
It definitely is. Now, did that just happen naturally? Did you kind of throw it out that you were hiring and suddenly the people who were using the service raised their hands, pinged you on social media and said, I want to apply? How did that actually, was it a conscious effort?
Yeah. So with customer service, it is. Whenever we go to hire, because we have 3 people in customer service, we have some that are very part-time that kind of do nights and weekends, which, you know, perfect for a mom that maybe wants to just work part-time a few hours to stay in things and wants to work from home. And so, yeah, that was very intentional. Like, let's reach out to our audience and see. And
so smart.
We had hundreds of applicants. I want to say, like, you know, 300 or 400 within a few weeks.
My goodness. So, yeah. To narrow down that field, that must have been something else, when they're all champions, right?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yes, I know.
Well, maybe someday you'll have 300 or 400. You never know. Cool. I'm just curious. So, you know, building a culture means establishing norms, and there's passion, and it takes all kinds of experience to bring a team together. And does everybody at Prep Dish, do you have to have a background in food or culinary? How does that work?
Not all positions require that. I will say, in our application process, one of the questions is, do you like vegetables? <'Cause>, you know, so there's some baseline things that we like to cover and make sure that, you know, that they have a passion for family meals and healthy eating.
That's an interesting interview question. Do you like vegetables? Good one.
I mean, you know, someone is going to McDonald's every day isn't going to be, you know, they're just not going to get it. So,
so true. You got to weed them out.
Yeah. So, and then, but in terms, so we do have someone that helps with the meal plan editing. She does have she's a dietitian as well and has a background, and she's written a few cookbooks. So she has a really strong culinary background. But then for the rest of the team, really, it's just, is this something you care about and you can speak to, like customer service? Like, do you make meals for your family? So then when people email in with questions about it, they can kind of speak firsthand to their experience. So that's more of just an informal background in food and culinary skills. But yeah, the only ones that really need the strong background are the people that are creating the meal plans.
Yeah. And that definitely makes sense. You want those folks to have a strong background. You know, you mentioned some of these customers who are real fans. And I guess that begs a question about empowering people to share your story. And that goes both for your team and also your customers. How do you get them excited? Is this just a natural process that happens, or is there something that you're doing so that, you know, internally your employees are shouting about your brand and externally the public is so excited? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two parts of that, because there's a piece of it that you can't tell people to be excited about something, or you can't tell people to say nice things about you, you know, or you can, but it's just not really authentic. So we certainly try and, you know, kind of encourage or remind people like, hey, you know, we really appreciate people that have shared and all of that. The thing that we do that, and really this isn't something that's seen externally, but we have a Facebook group, and that really is a little mini community where people can go on and share their experience with PrepDish. They can ask questions. And maybe it's as simple as like, here's a picture for my meal tonight and my kids ate salmon for the first time. And then everyone can get on and give them a little virtual high five. And, you know, they need that. Like, they need the support of like, way to go, you know, kind of some cheerleaders there telling them that, you know, they're on the right track. So that's where we really try and step in and like provide the environment where they can share and get excited. If they want to go on beyond that and share externally, that's just kind of on them. And you just have to hope that you have a strong enough product that people want to share about it.
Right. And you know, the power of community. Mm-hmm. You find if they like something, they feel comfortable, it's helping them, they're much more apt to go and share it. So I do want to talk about, you know, you mentioned the Facebook group. In general, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, as a part of a marketing program, we were not talking about social media. So how much does social media, whether it's Facebook or other channels, how much does that play into what you're doing today?
It plays a pretty big role. You know, it gives us a chance to really get to know our subscribers in a way that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see, you know, like that Facebook group's the best example. But, you know, we'll have people that send in a picture of their 2-year-old eating, you know, the meal for the week or something. And so it's just like, you really get to see a piece of their life, which is really cool. And then they can all connect with each other. And same thing, even with Instagram, it's fun to see the interaction, especially in stories. I tend to do a lot more stories than just posts, because people really can.
That's cool.
I think start to, and they can get to know you on a more intimate level as well. So that's really what we use social media for, is the connection piece.
Yeah. And it's really good that you're doing the stories and taking advantage of all the tools that Instagram gives, because that actually helps you to be seen more. So There was a lot of backlash when the last time Instagram changed its API.
Yep.
And many of the influencers were pretty vocal about, oh my gosh, I'm not getting as many people liking and commenting. They weren't being shared or shown as frequently. But the trick is to use all of the tools, and that definitely props you up and gets you noticed. Mm-hmm. How do you guys decide, you know, on the spot question, how do you guys decide where you're going to participate? And I mean, resources is always a thing too. Mm-hmm. So is it just Facebook and Instagram, or do you look to other places? What's the thought process?
Yeah, so the way we handle that is we send out a survey twice a year that has about the same questions, and it asks demographics, you know, how many kids do they have? And it also asks things like, where are you at on social media? Where do you like to hang out? And right now, for our audience, that's Facebook and Instagram. So we really, and Instagram has grown. In the first, I want to say 2 years ago, that was not a big place that we found people, but more of our people started going over there. So, you know, we really just try and see where are they already hanging out. And then that's, we kind of follow them.
Smart.
Versus the other way around.
You know what? That is the best strategy. If you go where the people are and where they want you to be and where they want to interact with you. So that is really good. What about personally? Are you on social media, or is it more PrepDish is sharing? Like, does Allison like social media?
Yeah, I know. That's an interesting question. I think that's kind of a struggle as an entrepreneur, is like, how and where do you show up, and like, where is it PrepDish and where is it Allison? And it kind of blends. And I don't think I have a great answer with that. I mean, you know, I have a personal Facebook page, and I have but Instagram, I do not have a personal account. I just have PrepDish. Like, it's too much.
You're only one person.
But I have thought of that, you know, it's kind of like, I think at some point I might do them, but I think if I had a personal one, I would never get on it because it's just, you know, it can be really overwhelming. And I try and
yes,
not be, you know, you want to use social media for what it, get the value out of it, but then you don't want to fall into the trap of spending 3 hours a day on it and being like, why am I doing this? You know, see, I really try and be really thoughtful and intentional with my time spent on social media and really create boundaries for myself. And so that's, you know, I think something I'm constantly trying to reevaluate.
I love that you're creating boundaries. We need to pass this down to younger generations. You need those boundaries because you want social media to serve a purpose and not to be a time suck. Yes, that's the best word for it. Okay. Well, we have certainly heard about your journey, Allison, as the founder of Preptician. You know what? I thought I'd maybe take a moment to share my experience with Preptish, because for me, Preptish definitely removes this question from the dinner hour. And boy, I heard it quite a bit. What are we having for dinner tonight? I would almost cringe when I heard that. And you know what I'd also hear, which was never pleasant? Oh, gosh, not that again. You know what? Preptish, as I mentioned earlier, really helps because it is a meal planning service. It does save time, and it helps you make dinners much more appealing. I have a couple of favorite dishes, and Allison, I'm going to ask you your favorites, but I love the sweet potato frittata and the superfood salad. And, you know, listeners, you might want to check them out, but you know what? There are so many delicious recipes. But Allison, do you have any favorite dishes that you just want to cook over and over again?
I have a lot of favorites. And today, as we're recording this, it's like rainy and cold here in Texas. So I'm going to go with like the fall, wintry things. And we have a beef and butternut squash tagine, which is can be used in the crock pot. And that's really tasty and comforting. And then another favorite in the cold weather is we have something called pizza soup. And it's one of those that it tastes like pizza, but people get on all the time. And whenever that recipe shows up, they'll be commenting, it tastes just like pizza. Well, yeah, that's why we call it pizza soup.
And who doesn't love pizza, right? You know, so I also just want to really quickly mention how Preptish works because it's that easy. You mm-hmm. receive a weekly meal plan, right, with a grocery list. You know up front exactly what ingredients you need so that you can prep for the week. After you do your shopping, you set aside 2 or 3 hours. I definitely need closer to the 3 hours. I am slower in the kitchen, but I prefer it that way so that I can prepare everything in advance. Prepping on a Sunday means all week you're covered. And if you think about it, your meals just became easy. Mine did. You're saving time and you're efficient in the kitchen. And I just feel like with my crazy schedule, I let Preptish do the planning for me. But I want to mention to Women Worldwide listeners, this is the best part because as a sponsor of this episode, Allison and Preptish have a fantastic offer for all of you. So you can go to preptish.com/worldwide and get 2 weeks of Preptish for free. Try it. I know you're going to love it. Preptish.com/worldwide. I'm excited for listeners to try Preptish because it's so easy. Okay, so let's jump back in to our discussion. We were chatting about you as an entrepreneur. We talked about the winning team. We were touching on social media. So now, Allison, let me ask you the big question. What do you think is your greatest success?
Really, I think what it comes down to is the fact that it's, you know, Preptish is still going strong. You know, I started it over 5 years ago and there's ups and downs and sometimes I am 100% all in. And sometimes I think I'm a crazy person, but the fact that, you know, it's still going, I'm still excited about it. I have a team that's excited about it and customers that are excited about it. To me, that's just, you know, it still feels really special and I'm very grateful for it.
That's huge. Do you think every entrepreneur thinks they're crazy? Because sometimes, I mean, I do that.
I think every entrepreneur knows they're crazy.
You have to be,
I mean,
right?
I think there's a bit of crazy that comes along with it.
It's something in your DNA that mm-hmm. it's just like the perseverance, the push, whatever. Okay, so success, definitely. This is a tough one because sometimes it's not easy to share biggest challenges. So I'm going to toss this over to you. Share your biggest challenge, whether you want to talk personally or in business or a blend of both.
Yeah. So I think really one of the big challenges is kind of that last part, the blend of both. And that is, as an entrepreneur, you get so into your business, and I think you can kind of wrap identity into your business. And so that's something I've been trying to be more aware of like, I am not my business. And so I think that's been sort of a challenge, is figuring out how to still let Prep-Dish be a success, but then let Allison as a person be a success, and kind of just being aware of that's there and how to sort of navigate that.
I like that you said Allison as a person, because entrepreneurs get very wrapped up in their work and you mm-hmm. can't neglect yourself, right? You have to take the time yep. to be good to yourself too, because when you're good to yourself, then you're good to your business and you're good to your teams and everything just really flows so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely seen that to be true.
Yeah. So, you know, in business, we are faced with challenges, right? The ups and downs, you mentioned them, but Prep-Dish is going strong. So that is definitely a success, but we're solving problems. You know, you go to school and whatever's in a textbook, or you go to culinary school and whatever is in front of you, it's not quite the same. So mm-hmm. what is your approach to problem solving that you can share with Women Worldwide listeners? Because I would bet every single listener out there has some kind of a problem and needs a fresh eye, fresh perspective, a fresh set of eyes on an approach.
Well, you know, I think it comes down to, I think it's Marie Forleo that always says this, and that's everything is figure outable. You know, you look around and everyone else, they're figuring it out and no one has it all together. So just knowing that everything's figure outable and no issue is so big that it's like life or death. You know, I think sometimes you just have to trust your gut and make a decision. And other times too, like, you know, going back to like, okay, solving a problem, don't be afraid to reach out to others for help too. Cause if it's just a decision, sometimes that's in you and you can just figure it out. But if it's a problem, you know, as I've grown a team, like there's always someone there that is smarter than me in a specific area. So don't be afraid to reach out and have someone else help.
Yeah. When it comes to reaching out, and I hear this a lot from entrepreneurs, smart entrepreneurs like yourself, they say you have to know when to reach out. So I want to ask you the question, why do you think entrepreneurs wouldn't reach out? Is that an ego thing? Is it pride? What do you think would stop somebody?
I think it's both of those. And I mean, early on, I know for me, it was also a budget thing, right? Like I yeah. always had this like, oh, I'm on a tight budget and I can't. Now I've realized that kind of the value of my time, right? Like, sure, I can figure anything out, but it may take me 10 hours to like do this one thing and I could,
you can hire somebody.
Yeah. If I have to pay $100 to have someone else do it, well then that's, you know, my time's worth more than $10 an hour. So that was worth it.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I got a VA.
Yeah.
Because it took me, I mean, I was so over my calendar. Like, I can't let anybody touch my calendar and coordinate with media or clients. But at the end of the day, I wasn't very good at it. I needed help. Yeah. It was always, you need a budget to outsource and hire somebody. But as you said, everything is figure outable. who was it that actually you mentioned a woman who said that? It didn't catch the name. So I want listeners to know.
Yeah. Marie Forleo. She does B School and she has some entrepreneur videos that she does. And she always says that phrase.
Cool. Marie Forleo. Okay. Well, everybody look her up. All right. So, you know, we were talking about managing time, your life, business. how do you do that? And how do you manage this, the stress that just naturally happens in a day?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's evolved over time. You know, now, as I've mentioned, is, you know, just having a team, so it's not all on me. And I can kind of, we can delegate out some of the tasks. And, you know, having some boundaries in my life. One thing this year was not pulling out my computer after dinner and, you know, making a point to, okay, after dinner, not going back and working on things and just, you know, kind of having boundaries like that. I use a program called Hubstaff and I track time, including my own. And that's been super helpful to go back and see where am I spending my time and how many hours I'm working a week and to just be more intentional on that to make sure I'm not working so much that it's stressing me out. And it also is really cool because I can look back and see how long a specific program might have taken.
That's really good because you have to be tracking to have that frame of reference and to know where your time is being used effectively and where it's not. So you said, I really like the boundary of not going back on your computer after dinner. But I have to be completely transparent here. When you said that, I'm like, okay, so if I did that, if dinner was at 9 o'clock, that would be fine.
Yeah. Well, one, I'm not perfect about it. It does happen. You know, I think actually last night, I'm like, oh, I need to get back on like being, you know, good about that. Sometimes too, dinner gets pushed back a little bit because of that, but it still feels like a little more like the evenings feel better when I know that like, okay, after dinner, it's like I relax and I, you know, it's just a better feeling.
I admire that because, you know, in Western culture here in the US, there is something about, especially when you're an entrepreneur, work, 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 the more you work, the busier you are, that's better. Go over to Spain. Right. I mean, my husband and I, when we were in Spain, you don't do that. It's family time. It's time to relax. You're talking, you're, you know, socializing. It's just so different.
Well, I've found, you know, in tracking my hours, I've actually found when I work less hours, Preptis usually does better. And I think it's because I get more into where I need to be, which is looking at strategy and thinking more big picture. And when I'm working a lot of hours, it's because I'm bogged down and I'm in the details and I can't get out to see what's really happening. So for me, I have to remind myself this, but like, hey, if you work less hours, you're actually going to do better. You know, you'll make more if you work less, which is counterintuitive. But I do think that, you know, there's kind of a happy place where that happens.
Yeah, you're in the zone. Mm-hmm. That happy place is because you've taken the time to give your brain a bit of a rest. Your team is doing whatever they need to be doing. And even if it's, I don't know, there's something that really resonates with me because even though it's hard to take a vacation or to even a staycation or a mini staycation at home, when you do it, you're actually more productive. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know this. I bet you there's statistics and reports on it, but yet sometimes it's so hard for the entrepreneur to get there. So I think it's really good that you can get in your zone by stepping back and, you know, taking some time. That's good.
Yeah. Well, another thing I should, here's two other things that are really helpful with balancing everything. And one is I actually do follow the Preptis meal plans. I don't follow recipe straight through because I'm not good at following recipes, but I use those as a base for making my meals, which is a huge time saver. And then
that's great.
I know. The second piece is I'm a big meditator. So I've did transcendental meditation training 2.5 years ago with my husband. And
excellent.
It's been nice because we do it together. So we kind of are accountability buddies there. And that's been really helpful for both of us.
So. Oh my goodness. I've been saying to my husband, you have to meditate. So I've been meditating for a little while now. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying to him, you know what? It would be so good. It would be so good. And I wasn't even really thinking of accountability buddies, but, you know, having a partner, that's great.
Well, yeah, because our first one, we always do one of them, we always do together because it's first thing in the morning. So when we first get up, we sit up in bed and set our timer, and that's our first meditation of the day. So it's before we do anything else. So it's pretty much impossible to skip it because it's just the first thing we do, and we do it together. So it helps.
I'm so impressed. I can't tell you. That's so cool. I mean, I wonder how many listeners are out there thinking, can I get my husband to be my accountability buddy? And could we wake up first thing in the morning and do a meditation? Now, I don't know. Is your husband a part of your business or does he do something completely different?
So he does something completely different, but he is also an entrepreneur. So this goes back to the working after dinner, because that's hard, because he will go out and work after dinner and I don't. So it does make it trickier. But yeah, he has his own business and works from home and is an entrepreneur as well. So,
but he understands the mindset.
He does. Yeah. So there's a lot of, and you know, he's a really good sounding board too when I need help with things.
Oh, that's good. And you know what, being that you're an entrepreneur and he's an entrepreneur, do you think anybody can be an entrepreneur? Maybe you could just share with listeners the top three characteristics of the entrepreneur.
Yeah. You know, can anyone be one? Sure. Can everyone be successful and happy at it? No, probably not. You know, it's something that not everyone is maybe built out to be. And that's taken me a time to realize over the years, because I've tended to really like get people excited about entrepreneurship. And I've seen where sometimes it's just not the best fit for people for various reasons. And three things that I think are really important for going the entrepreneur route. One is having the passion, because there are going to be times where you're working just for pure passion, at least for me. Like with Prep-Dish, there were months where, you know, like I was breaking even. So I was paying myself through like passion, you know, like you just have to get through. And then the second piece is there has to be accountability. That's accountability to yourself. Although I've gotten better over the years at finding outside sources of accountability as well, because mm-hmm. that just multiplies the rate at which I grow, is the more I can put into place people that I'm accountable towards, that helps, because it's too easy to just, you know, let things slide when you're not having to be accountable to anyone. And then the other piece is dedication. And I think all of them they're kind of in the same vein, but you know, all of those pieces are really, you know, there's going to be times where you kind of have to have that like grit to get through. So,
oh gosh, yes. A lot of grit. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that passion part, I feel the same way. You need that passion, because sometimes people around you may not get it. Yeah. They might say, really, that's what you're going to do. And I don't know if you face that with Prep-Dish, but the closer those people are to you, you have to stick with your passion and really drive it forward, so it can get tricky. I think an accountability, dedication, definitely. I would also say discipline. I mean, I know that it's interesting, because you go out on social media and you see entrepreneurs who are like the entrepreneur's life, hashtag entrepreneur life, and they're sailing and they're doing all these things. And that's great. You need to take time to do that. But as an entrepreneur, you're really disciplined, because there will be times that you're not going to be sailing and dancing and doing whatever, right? Because you're going to be working on your pitch for funding to a VC, whatever it is. So discipline is, I'd say, up there as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about learning moments? So you said that your business is it just over the 5-year hump?
Yeah, we're over the 5-year hump.
That's really good, because you know what they say about businesses over 5 years, that it's a success, because the first 5 years are probably the toughest. So you were over the hump. If you were to look back on those 5 years, share a learning moment or two that really, really sticks with you.
Well, I would say first, like 80 to 90% of what I do is like, we do it because of a mistake was made, right? Like a lot of what you do is like, right. Oh, we're doing it this way now because we learned the hard way.
Right.
But, yep. And then, I mean, probably the biggest thing goes back to what I was talking about earlier. And that is like, the key to a successful business is a good team, like surrounding myself with the right people that can really help take the business to the next level. You know, I can't do that on my own. That's a team that does that.
Yeah, you definitely have to. That's a big learning moment, because if you don't discover it, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. But I also like the 80 to 90% of what we do is a mistake. And that's the best learning moment, because I think a series of mistakes makes the great entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has some part of their business that, you know, I'll use the word fail, has failed, or they've had businesses that have gone sour. It's the only way to learn and grow. It's always what you do with it moving forward.
Yeah.
I would love for you to give some advice to our listeners out there, some advice on running and managing a business.
Yeah. So first is know your strength. So that's been something, you know, my strengths and my weaknesses, to kind of know that to start with. And then from there, you know, probably not a surprise, since I created a whole meal planning system and process, I'm big into systems, processes, and efficiencies. So, you know, the first time you do something, it might be a little more time intensive as you figure it out. But there's so much in business that's done over and over and over again. And you have to like learn how to speed those things up, get them into a checklist, get them into a process and a system. So that way it just like it runs, and then you can start focusing on like the next thing. So that's been really important at Prep-Dish.
Yeah, that is important. And, you know, systems and process and having the right people, it all falls into place. Okay, this is your last question and it's super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Prep-Dish?
Yeah, so on social media, we're Prep-Dish on all platforms. I am on Instagram quite a bit, with the Instagram story specifically, and it's at Prep-Dish. And same thing on Facebook. And then, you know, we have our website, prepdish.com, that talks all about the meal plans.
Awesome. Allison, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate your time, all of your advice about being an entrepreneur, and especially meal planning. We've learned a lot from you today.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you know what? I also want to thank Allison and Prep-Dish for sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. So don't forget, you can go to prepdish.com/worldwide to get your 2 weeks free. And that is a special deal for you, the Women Worldwide listener. And here's another little ask. We always, always want to hear your feedback. So if you have a moment, be sure to review us on iTunes or give us a shout out on Twitter. Tell us how you're feeling on Facebook. We love hearing from you. Okay, WW friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.